On Red Arrows with Union Jack tips the words, some scenes in this film are imagined, but don't panic. Most of this really happened. Two sets of feet striding along two different corridors. I'm on my own. Richard Dormer, Paul Ritter. We're Doomed, The Dad's Army Story. Written by Stephen Russell. Jimmy Perry, a man with a red velvet jacket and a spring in his step, lights a pipe as he walks, then takes a seat beside a group of actors waiting by a closed door. Above their heads, a notice board reads, On the Pill Comedy Auditions. Please wait for name to be called. The other man, David Croft, stops to smooth down his hair, steeling himself before opening a door marked, Tom Sloan, Head of Light Entertainment. A woman with a clipboard emerges from the audition room.
Jimmy Perry.
C'est moi.
She turns on her heel without returning his smile. March 1967. David's now fidgeting in a waiting room.
Mr. Croft, Tom will see you now.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And, I said to my father, I didn't need exams, you know, I was going to be a great actor or a famous comedian, and he looked at me like so, said, you stupid boy. He did. He's just like, stupid boy. So anyway.
Do you know what I did when I first got this job? I lost Tony Hancock. Impossible demands. Nobody could have kept him. It wasn't my fault. I got the blame.
Then it's not my fault we're losing Benny Bloody Hill. And then he pretends to be a hunchback. I mean, no, part of the problem. Let's, so, shall we give it a spinola? So I'm not going up there. What do you think I am, a squirrel? Came out a bit dark, didn't it? Comedy love, come on. I'm not going up there. What the flaming heck do you think I am? Bloody old firewoman, a squirrel? I mean, that's too much. What do you think I am, a squirrel? I can hear him now. See, yeah. I'm not going up there, man. What do you think? Neither my wife nor I.
Benny was impossible. He didn't even want a producer.
Sometimes you need to bow to the talent.
Are you, questioning the quality of my work?
This is the BBC. It's a very competitive environment.
I'm not a man. I'm not a beast. I'm like the man in the moon. I'm so ugly.
You've seen the Steptoe recordings. You know how high the bar's set.
With respect, Tom, I've not chosen my projects.
Innovators. That's what we need. You don't want to play it too safe.
Well, I'm sure my work will be more distinctive when I have control of the scripts. I'm confident of that.
David flashes a short-lived smile.
Good. You need to kick on, or...
Jimmy leaves the audition room.
Trevor Eve?
Looking irritated, Jimmy runs back to listen at the door for a moment, then pulls an incorrect apostrophe off the notice board, flicking it down the corridor as he walks away. David storms out of Tom's office, then lets out a heavy sigh as he leaves the studios. Jimmy's now pacing in front of his wife, Gilda.
Every scene on a sofa, the dull characters, mishaps that wouldn't happen... It's utter tosh.
Oh, not again. Do stop.
And they think I'm reppy.
La 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 la. You never get TV jobs. Don't do it to yourself. Stop auditioning.
I can't do that. I'm an actor, huh? What else would I do?
I've told you.
No, I'm not going into antiques, you know, relying on family at my age.
No, writing. You'd be good, you're funny. Strict with yourself.
Write myself a better part than that.
Well, exactly. Oh, please, let's not go broke. Write. Write anything.
I need an idea.
David.
I make myself indispensable. That's the plan.
Well, you do that by doing your own show. That's the plan.
All I need is a first-rate idea. No milk
today. Jimmy walks alone through a park, clicking his fingers absent-mindedly while his eyes dart and his brow furrows, lost in his own thoughts. He walks on through manicured flower beds, then takes a seat on a bench by a pond, where he's soon surrounded by a flock of hungry pigeons. As he walks on, he watches a six-strong squadron in black berets and khaki jog past him, then suddenly stops in his tracks. He turns around slowly, then hurries off, rubbing his hands together. May 1967. Scribbling on a pad in his study, Jimmy barely looks up from the page when Gilda brings him a cup of tea, then later buckles at the waist in a deep belly laugh, giggling at his own writing. July 1967.
Juicy part, not the crumpet, but cut your hair and wear a short skirt just in case.
4 o'clock. Bye, darling.
I've written a comedy.
Red Varney's brother and Beggar My Neighbour.
A regular.
A scene. You don't have to audition and the money's not bad.
No, I'll do it. I don't know what to do with this now I've finished.
Oh, read it. It's only good. I'll give it to Michael Mills.
Who's he?
He's head of comedy at the BBC.
Oh, written myself a nice little spiv part, my ticket.
Sorry, a spiv? What's it about?
The war. Well, the Home Guard. I was in it before I was called up.
David's producing Beggar My Neighbour. Give him a copy.
Oh, can't you?
Could. Better from you.
Hattie.
Hello.
Jimmy, cough and a spit, playing Harry's brother.
Morning, everyone.
June.
Right, Major Croft, feel the hush.
Oh, Jimmy, delighted you could join us.
So am I. Thank you, Mr. Croft.
David.
Bit grim. Does he turn nasty?
Not that I've seen. Doesn't say much, but he's usually spot on.
Right. This episode of Beggar My Neighbour is called My Fair Harry Butt.
In the corridor.
David. I've got a script.
All actors have a script.
Not like this one, they don't.
The Fighting Tigers.
Jimmy holds up his hands, grinning awkwardly, then looks back at David as he walks away. Now, barely watching the TV show, pardon the expression, in his dark living room, Jimmy lifts up his telephone receiver. At the Crofts, Anne answers the phone.
Anne, it's Jimmy.
Hello.
Look, I gave it to David.
Do you think you'll read it tonight?
Hang on. Will you read Jimmy's script tonight?
David shakes his head.
He says yes, definitely.
David grimaces. At rehearsals, Pat's reassuring Jimmy.
He wouldn't dodge you if he hated it. He's not like that.
I could have dropped a hint.
David walks in, then leaves.
Oh, got it wrong. He is dodging you. Cheerio.
Bugger this.
David runs up behind Jimmy in the canteen.
Jimmy. I've been trying to get you on your own all day. I read your script. It's a terrific idea. Terrific. Do you think so? Thank you. Thank you. Really, what do you like?
Leave it with me. I'll speak to Michael Mills and be in touch. Yeah.
Michael Mills, head of comedy.
Now, look here. I don't think you should do this. Bad time politically. Tom Sloan.
No, Tom wants me to do more. He wants me to be more innovative.
Not only Tom. New BBC One controller, Paul Fox. He's ex-paratrooper. Takes the war pretty damn seriously, you know?
So do I.
Not like Foxy. Doesn't even like chaps driving German cars. No, war's old hat anyway. Look out the window. It's different times.
I think just enough time's passed for this to really land.
Be a battle to get this through. Battles mean casualties.
I'll take the flak, Michael. I want to do this.
You're absolutely sure?
We've discussed my ambitions. This is what I've been waiting for.
Good man. Back into the hilt. Can't save you if you fail up, though, understood? Promising stuff. Not there yet. Some suggestions.
Now at home, David looks out of the window at a red car that's heading up the drive to his red brick house. Jimmy gets out just as a group of small children barrel out of the front door.
Hey, where did we go?
Jimmy. All right, everyone. All aboard.
Not all mine. Not quite. I thought we could talk. Well, I drop them off at, all over, really. Climb in.
Ah. Anyone's going to be sick? What's the code?
I know. Anne's car. Want to know why she got it?
Her idea to spray it white, too.
We hire it out for weddings. Pays for itself.
Very clever lady, my agent.
Good news.
Michael Mills likes it. The BBC will pay for a script. Not the one you've written. A new one. And Michael wants some changes. He doesn't like the title. He wants to call it Dad's Army.
Driving along together.
There's more. Michael wants you to have a co-writer.
Who?
He suggested me.
Jimmy's laughing.
Well, I didn't know you were a writer as well.
So what do you think?
In theory, yes.
Good.
Well, there's something else. God, it's like asking someone out.
Steady on.
I wrote it to give myself a part. I want to play Walker.
Michael approves all casting.
I need a guarantee.
Jimmy, I don't want to start our partnership telling you I can do something that I can't.
We could make something brilliant.
You'll at least consider me for the role.
Yes,
I can do that.
He was in my home guard platoon, and he used to say, they do not like the cold steel. They do not like it, Appam!
Who would like it?
I don't think this bit's funny.
Well, I do. But you'll see me do it sometime. I'm being considered, remember?
Oh, there's really no need, Jimmy.
You read Mannering.
Well, yes, I don't like,
That's very funny.
Well, I'm a wholesale supplier, aren't I? I supply essential supplies.
Any previous military experience?
I've got a girlfriend in the ATS. I'll keep doing it until you cast me.
Well, shall we send it in?
I suppose so. Will they like it?
Michael Mills is in his office reading the new script. Now, Tom Sloan. Paul Fox, controller, BBC One.
Now, look here. Tom Sloan's lukewarm and Paul Fox is very uneasy.
What don't they like?
Foxy thinks he's taking the piss.
Not even nearly.
News, Waller! Needs a few comedy lessons off me. Also ask why now.
So that's it, we're done.
No. I'm head of comedy and I want a series. Write me another 5.
Well, you could do that.
Yes. But they might not show it.
They will if it's very, very good.
Exactly. Make it good enough for Foxy. No one likes wasting money.
How long did we have to write it?
Slightly less time than you need.
Oh, Hodges reminds me of this man I worked with at Butlins. Real lout.
I worked at Butlins?
No, Heidi High.
Hody ho!
Fabulous Joe Walker line.
Hey, little hen.
When will you lay me an egg for my tea?
I wonder if he's a bit Richmond Nixon this episode.
Looking over Jimmy's shoulder at a script.
We'll try.
Move the comma. Here.
Keep that, lose that.
Yes, terrible idea. Who wrote that?
When will you try to supply one for me?
Do you think we should try and get them in uniform?
No, running gag. Uniforms don't arrive.
Read that back.
End of episode 6.
The duo shake hands. In Michael's office.
Casting! That's what'll make it.
Oh, yes. Easy to misjudge these characters. Walker the Spiv, for instance, could be horribly over the top with the wrong actor.
It's a gang show. The gang has to work together or the whole boat sinks. No mistakes, not one. Now, look here. There's only one actor in Equity to play in Mannering. One actor. Thorley Waters.
A photo of Thorley.
Sure.
Yeah.
Thorley Waters says no.
John Pertwee.
John Pertwee says yes.
Tell him what we're paying.
John Pertwee says no.
David reaches out and rips the photo of John Pertwee off his office wall and throws it behind him. Now he and Jimmy are back in Michael's office. All three of them are deep in thought.
Well, I wondered, Arthur Lowe?
In the Northern thing?
Coronation Street.
No.
Well, he's done 2 comedies since then.
No, we don't know him at the BBC.
Well, I've seen him in Rep. He can be very funny.
No, we don't know him here.
You really think Arthur can do it?
Well, I can judge an actor, you know.
You're sure?
His comic timing is perfect.
Well, if you're sure.
I'm sure.
Let's meet him.
The deviled kidneys. Are they made with cream?
Yes, they are.
Double cream?
Yes.
You don't sound too sure.
I am. It's definitely double cream.
And you use English mustard?
Of course.
Just a touch. It should never overpower.
I'll make sure Chef knows.
Very well, I'll try them. I'd also like 2 fried eggs, 2 Cumberland sausages, mushrooms, and extra toast with butter. Thank you for asking me to lunch. Although I'm wary of putting myself into another situation comedy.
Well, Captain Mannering's a very different part to Leonard Swindley.
All the same, I wouldn't want to be in something silly. Something like that, dreadful Hugh and I.
I directed and produced every episode of Hugh and I, and I'm very proud of it.
Arthur wrinkles his nose a little and glances away, unnerved by David's steady gaze.
Of course, a lesser man could be embarrassed in a situation like this.
Amused, David laughs.
This wine's rather good, you know.
He downs his glass and smiles at the two writers.
There's no way out of this?
Arthur said yes on the spot.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear. Oh, dear. Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear.
Michael, I'm absolutely sure that he's the very best we can get.
Definitely. I guarantee it.
Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear. Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear. Oh, dear. John the Measurer.
Big man, small man, that'll work.
Well, he always does the same thing.
Exactly. You know what you're getting. And he suffers so beautifully. Always cast an actor who's like the role. He won't go far wrong.
You're not wrong there, Garth. My card. Jimmy Perry, actor, Spivs, a speciality.
Yes. It's not all about Bloody Walker.
David stares meaningfully at Jimmy. Now, a white-haired man's reading a script.
I'm wounded you're sending this out. Is this the best you can do?
We know the character isn't fully rounded.
A Scotsman? That's the character description? Nothing else? Nothing on God's earth could persuade me to accept this insult.
I'm sorry to hear that, John.
But for one thing, I never turn a job down if I'm available. And I am. So, I accept.
Jimmy and David exchange glances, then relax.
I'm delighted to be asked. I should like to do it very much, but I do worry about letting people down.
I'll do my best to protect you, Arnold. But I should warn you, there may be some running around.
Oh. Well, I expect I'll manage.
Thought I was getting showered in tea there. That's arthritis in his hand.
No, jam and bayonet, the Somme.
Why, was going to use it?
Well enough to join up with the Second World War and get invalided out of that too. I should think a bit of light comedy is attainable.
John LeMessurier is stalling. We offered Jack Haig for Corporal Jones, but he's a friend of Tom Sloan's. Tom told him to only get one series, so he said no.
What? You didn't tell me that.
Sir, we approach Clive Dunn.
Good thinking.
We're fighting the enemy within.
David's done hundreds of shows. He can navigate the round business.
I know Tom has Dad's, but that's sabotage.
Jimmy, we're on our own. If Dad's army bombs, many people will enjoy saying they told us so as they escort us from the building. That's why the casting has to be the very, very best we can get.
Jimmy's wide-eyed and indignant. Michael.
Now, look here. Paul Fox is coming for a tour of the department, so, chaps...
Right.
They bump into Paul Fox outside Michael's office. David.
Paul! Jimmy Perry, Paul Fox, BBC One controller.
Hello, pleased to meet you.
Sixth Floor has grave doubts about your show.
Well, I hope you'll change your mind when you watch it, Paul.
So do the accountants, yes. And we're all their slaves. Excuse me.
Michael, how are you?
You can't protect Michael. It's his neck as well as yours, you know.
Jimmy stares after Tom as he enters Michael's office.
Well, what about my neck?
Let's talk about it later, Jimmy.
Yeah, no, I know. No, you didn't see me in that last thing. I was bad. Never been worse.
Really, Clive?
No, exaggerate.
Can't play another old man. I'm only 48.
I've read it a few times now and can't help thinking it's rather good. You know, funny. Almost. And I could get out more.
Then I should probably get out less.
You gonna do it?
Are you?
Well, money's not great.
No.
Well, if we get the money up...
You do it.
Okay. Deal. Cheerio.
Cheerio.
Five, we're on in 10.
I'm coming. All right.
Backstage at a theatre, Clive wanders upstairs, clad in a Lions costume. Jimmy approaches David's office. He enters the office to find David sitting behind his desk, pouring a very generous amount of whiskey into the second of two glasses. Jimmy takes a seat just as David calmly places one of the glasses in front of him. Jimmy stares at David, then at the glass, which is half full. He has a realisation.
You're not going to cast me.
I'm sorry.
I wrote the bloody thing to be in it!
David watches as Jimmy leaves the room. In the corridor, he covers his face with his hands. In the office, David's motionless but with a grave expression on his face. Jimmy composes himself, then returns. Jimmy takes a seat.
So I've played Spivs for 20 years. It's a character role, it's not the lead. You know, if this was going to set me up... am I not good enough? Do you think I can't do it? You know, tell me the truth, I can take it.
This will be hard to hear, Jimmy. I think you're every bit good enough.
Well, then cast me. Come on, you went against Michael for Arthur, do it for me.
It's my decision not to cast you. It wouldn't be good for the show.
How?
It's an ensemble. A company. If the company works, the show works. These are difficult older actors. Having the writer in the company would be divisive. They, They'd think you were giving yourself the best lines. Now, you have to decide which side of the camera you want to be on.
The other side. I'm an actor.
It's too late, Jimmy. You've written the series. You're behind the camera. I need you with me.
I resent this. Resent this more than I can say. I never wanted to be a writer.
Look at the work. You are one.
David's expression hardens.
It's for the benefit of the show.
The greater good. Yeah. The bloody boar again.
A hollow laugh, then turning to David.
I'm completely powerless. I should just walk away.
He stares at David, then heads for the door.
Jimmy!
Glancing back at David with a grim expression, Jimmy leaves. Now he's sitting in a dimly lit living room, lighting a cigarette. Gilda enters the living room and switches the light on. She looks at Jimmy.
Chance like this might not come again. Oh, you're not going to bugger it up over a part, are you?
You know how much it means to me. I'm an actor. I'll be one till I die.
A jobbing actor till you die in poverty.
That's bloody rude.
You need to hear it. You've written something tailored to your strengths, and it's still no thanks. What does that say? It says you're a...
Shooting her an accusing look.
Pretty decent actor. But if it's a good part, there's someone better. And it is a good part because you wrote it. You're a good writer, not an average actor. That's the real you. Unless you need to fail.
Of course I don't.
Then forget acting. Think about the show, your show you've written. Seize it.
She looks concerned, but he's lost in a reverie. She stands up.
On or off?
Off.
She switches the light off, but pops her head back round the door a moment later.
You've never been a stupid boy.
Daytime. An assistant sitting with David behind a desk in a casting room.
Now, I don't want to overstate it, but I think this is the kind of role that could really make a career.
Right. That's good news.
So sorry I'm late. Hello.
Jimmy Perry, creator and co-writer. James Beck.
Huh. Well, I'm a Jimmy too. Shall I go?
Oh, when you're ready.
James moves the chair out of the way.
Evening, gents.
Name?
Muckard.
Joe Walker, wholesale supplier. I suppose you won't be with us very long. You'll be called up any day now, I should think.
No, Gov. No. I'm a, what's his name? Reserved occupation.
How do you make that out?
Well, I'm also a supplier, aren't I? I supply essential supplies.
Any previous military experience?
Well, I've got a girlfriend in the ACS.
Very good. Very good.
Well, he blew a lot of laugh lines. Look, I'm sorry, I'm turning my life upside down for this show. Everything I've been for 30 years.
I'm not putting my life on the line. Just my career and my house. Oh, Bill Pertwee and Ian Lavender have said yes too.
So we're casting.
Let's hope they get on.
We get them on location in Norfolk, drinking and swapping stories. If we can just forge a tight-knit unit before the live recordings, it'll be all right.
No gang, no show.
Oh, I've seen the weather forecast. At least the elements are on our side.
What a relief.
1st of April, 1968.
Oh, it's only a little chair. It'll pass in a minute.
I'd like a car like this.
One with a whiff of vomit. Shouldn't be beyond the bounds of possibility.
What a chance on our wages. Eh? Eh?
Arthur stares.
You want to know what we're making?
How much? Would that... both of you?
From the back of David's car with Clive and John LeMessurier to an outdoor set where Arthur's now pacing up and down. Anne arrives.
Fall in, everyone!
Fall in. Really, old chap. We're only pretending to be soldiers this time, you know.
You all right, Arthur?
I had some rather upsetting news.
I'm sorry to hear that, Arthur.
Is there
anything I can help with?
For the good of the show, I have shaken the upset off. But if there is a second series, I will not shake it off. Is that clear?
Good for you, Arthur.
Thank you.
Right, let's get ready for a take.
You come to wish David luck?
No, I've come to wish you luck.
I need it.
You do.
Arthur and John.
And action.
Squadron! Left turn. Men, you may wonder why I brought you here. I'm placing this unit under the command... under the command of...
Colonel Square!
Colonel Square.
Let's go again.
Colonel Square. And Colonel Square.
Take two.
Squadron! Right turn. Oh, it's left, isn't it? Left, right, left, right. It's left, not right.
Again.
Why has...
Standing by. Colonel Square?
Colonel Square, you are probably thinking, why has he... I'll go again.
Resetting, please, ladies and gentlemen.
Men, you may be wondering why I brought you here. Damn it!
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
You're not really worried, are you? Well, on television, I find that anything can go wrong at any time.
What's it called?
I call it a gin Amazon. My own invention. Rather a well-balanced aperitif, I think you'll find.
Nice.
There's too much ice and cucumber, though. I'm going to have a word.
It's all right. We don't all need to have the same drink to get on.
I want my men to enjoy this drink as it should be enjoyed.
My men, really, Arthur?
Every company has a leader.
The pips are only on the costume, old boy.
Jimmy arrives, pipe in hand. Arthur looks hurt.
Look, I just thought you were all marvellous today. I really did. I couldn't be more delighted.
Jimmy notes the tense atmosphere and the assembled actors exchanging glances.
Sod this. Let's get some fish and chips.
Good idea.
Arthur's served a fry-up.
Oh, thank you so much.
Sheer gluttony. Arthur's teeth are going to kill him.
Thank you, Matilda. That's awfully kind of you.
Quite all right, John.
Any other favours while she's down there?
Matilda, sweetheart, I was wondering if you could take the top off my eggs and maybe cut my toast into soldiers.
We can all tip fivers, we wouldn't get that level of service.
Hey, stop being tiresome. She's just an awfully sweet girl.
Morning, everyone.
Morning,
Arthur. Ah, you made it through the night. Hardly seems worth your while eating.
Morning, Arthur.
Morning, Jimmy.
Morning.
Arnold, mind if I join you?
Not at all. Please do.
Jimmy notes Arnold can't use his left hand.
Yes, how's everyone getting on?
I haven't had the chance to say, but your scripts are very good, you know.
Oh, gosh, Arnold, thanks. That means a lot coming from you. Now, I'm a great admirer of your plays. With The Ghost Train, I've seen it so many times. I've often thought I'd like to have your royalties.
Yes, I've often thought I'd like my royalties too. I ran a film company that went bust before the war, and I made the very bad decision to sell off the rights to all my plays so I could pay everyone off quickly. Never, ever do this. Writers must always hold on to their bloody rights.
Well, why didn't you write more plays?
The ideas dried up. Ones I had were mucked about with. You're lucky. You're on set, in charge. Make the most of it. Some writers can end up as old actors. A terrible, terrible thing.
Jimmy looks thoughtful at this.
Hodges is a bully, Bill.
Now, Jimmy watches as the actors board a bus.
Welcome aboard.
OK, have a wonderful day.
No, Jimmy, Arthur's not here.
He's not.
Inside, Jimmy hurries upstairs and knocks on a door.
Who's there?
Arthur, it's Jimmy. Are you all right? You've missed the bus, love.
I can't go yet.
Why not?
I can't go yet.
I'll give you a lift. I'll wait outside.
Now, both outside.
Have you considered all bran?
All bran? That's like mattress stuffing.
Well, people swear by it. Give it a try.
I certainly won't.
Well, I'll get you some anyway, just in case you change your mind.
That girl that does the cakes, Carol.
What about her?
I like Mr. Kipling cakes. Could you let her know?
You could tell her yourself.
Very well. Buxom little thing. Who's poking her, do you know?
I've no idea, Arthur.
Of course, Joan would never put up with that sort of thing.
Jimmy rolls his eyes as he starts up the car. Now, back at the outdoor set, he's looking through a script when David approaches him, frowning, hands in pockets.
Someone needs to decide and finish the titles.
Yeah, I'll do it. And Derek Tevin has sent more music.
He walks off and David smiles. Now, Jimmy's watching old black and white film from the World War II era.
Turn it off, Jimmy.
He turns round to find John Laurie standing behind him, aghast. Jimmy switches off the film, and the older man looks grateful.
Thank you.
John walks off. Outside, Arthur's with Carol and Ian at the catering table.
Anyway, swimming. Sorry, Arthur. I did like that voice of yours.
Oh, did you, Mr. Mainwaring?
Hmm.
Well, you won't hear it for a while. I've hardly any lines.
Don't worry about the lines. They'll come. Get a funny costume and stand next to me.
Thanks, Arthur.
Niagara Falls! That's what he's saying!
No one else but a gin, Amazon?
Oh, no, thank you, Arthur. It's very kind. I had one last night.
Well, more for me.
It's revenge for me, this show.
Oh, why? What did you do in the war?
Daddy.
He sat on his arse.
I got captured 4 years as a POW, and actually, they kept me very busy.
Jimmy, come and sit down. Come on.
No, thanks, John. I shouldn't really work to do. Let me put something behind the bar. Stand my round. No, I must. You all have a good night.
Yeah. Oh, God bless you, Jimmy. Good night.
Jimmy, right well.
Jimmy takes his leave.
Anyway, as I was saying, so the big hand was on the three.
Ah, Jimmy, how's the gang?
I understand why I can't play Walker.
Good.
I'll continue to resent it, though.
I know. There's the rewrites.
Yes, they're very funny.
David notes Jimmy's disquiet.
Was there something else?
John Laurie saw some of the title footage. It's not too close to the war for this show, is it?
No. It's a bit late if it is, Jimmy.
The next day, the actors are boarding the bus to head over to the outdoor set.
See you down there.
Just a minute. Wait, we haven't got Arthur. Mr.
Don't panic! Don't panic, Mr. Perry!
Jimmy's driving Arthur to the set.
Did you get the all bran?
I did, but it worked a treat. Our gravelation. Thank you.
Well, if it worked, why didn't you get the bus?
Aren't you driving me every day?
Furious, Jimmy hits the brakes.
I'm the writer. I'm not your bloody chauffeur. Ha 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 ha!
On set, Ian's wearing a maroon and blue scarf. Arthur notices.
That's the ticket, Lavender Blue.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Manley. Mum knitted it. She used all her coupons.
Hilarious, boy. Hilarious. Well done.
A woman passes a note to David. He reads it, then smiles. To Jimmy.
Bud Flanagan's agreed to sing your song.
No. Then Derek and I will record it. Now, we have a theme tune.
Bird.
Is this mine, Moisha?
Are we all set up for you okay in there, Mr. Flanagan?
Perfectly. As long as the money's all right. Is it? Oh, good. Then call me Bud.
Right. You sure you don't want to hear the tune again first?
No. It sounds like something I've been singing for years. In a good way.
Jimmy smiles, then presses a button on a reel-to-reel machine.
Recording.
Oh, do you think you are kidding, Mr. Hitler? If you think we're on the run, we are the boys who will stop your little game. We are the boys who will make you thing again. 'Cause who do you think you are kidding, Mr. Hitler? If you think old England's done, Mr. Brown goes off to town on the 821. But he comes home each evening and he's ready with his gun. So who do you think you are kidding, Mr. Hitler? If you think old England's done. Will that do?
That's perfect, Bud. Thank you.
Good song. Good luck with the show. Who do you think you are kidding, Mr. Hitler?
David's in his office, smiling as he listens to the playback with Jimmy.
I think we might be all right after all. What? What, you don't think so?
The live recordings will make this. Cast get on. It's just...
They both look at a photo of Arthur on the wall.
Goulash, she loved goulash.
That'd be great. No. OK, chaps, let's run the lines.
Oh, yes, sorry. Oh, Wilson, this is no time for red tape. Hordes of parachutes.
Jimmy glances at David, exasperated.
And again.
Oh, Wilson, this is no time for red tape. Hordes of parachutes, disguised as nuns, will drop out of the sky.
John LeMessurier's waiting.
Into Wiltshire.
Try that line again, please, Arthur.
And all the others.
Oh, Wilson, this is no time for red tape. Hordes of parachutes have got it and are wrapping it round buildings.
You're very good, Arthur. Oh.
Well, he's a lovely man, John, but he's got a head like a sieve.
You wanted something, John?
Yes. Help.
David and Jimmy find Arthur in his dressing room.
Got a minute, Arthur?
Joan's waiting. We're dining out.
Got you another script?
Well, I thought you could leave one copy here and put the other one under your pillow.
Perhaps the lines will seep through while you're sleeping.
I couldn't have that sort of thing in the house. That would never do. Ridiculous. It's completely ridiculous.
Arthur? Arthur, please.
Arthur. David, Jimmy, sorry to bother you. This line here, I don't want to say it. It's rude.
What, they don't like it, Upham? Well, it's on the gentle side of rude, surely.
Corporal Jones has no idea it's rude. It's only rude to you. Think about it, Clive. I'd really like you to say it.
So would I. Oh, God, bloody actors.
Hello, Paul. Tom? So, what do you think? Did you enjoy the rehearsal?
Hard to tell when the lead can't remember his lines.
Shame it's too late to recast.
Fear of a live audience helps some actors.
Yes, I'd heard that. Still, good that you can be so positive in the face of everything.
Well, fear isn't helping me. I don't need any bloody Albran, I can tell you.
I hope we haven't made a mistake casting Arthur.
First live recording, 15th of April, 1968. Jimmy looks worried as he notes the audience's frowns. Now, Bill's on stage, talking to the audience.
See, now we're getting to know each other. So will you give a big rousing BBC welcome, good old friend of mine, Arthur Lowe! There he is!
Arthur shuffles out onto the set.
Wonderful, Arthur. Playing a wonderful Sergeant Wilson, he's playing. And that's an old dear friend of mine, John the Measurer! Where's John? Hey, come, John! Playing Private Fraser, there's John Laurie! This is Arnold Ridley playing Private Godfrey. Come on out, Arnie. Wonderful, wonderful. Well, my name's Bill Pertwee. I'm playing the warden. And I wish you all hope you have a wonderful evening.
Oh, well.
Shaking hands.
Not much we can say now.
Apart from fingers crossed.
John LeMessurier's on set with Arthur.
Clear the set. Ready to record?
No, there you are, sir.
Did you get the enrolment forms?
No.
Haven't they got any at the police station?
They wouldn't let me have any without putting in an application form.
Why didn't you, sir?
They haven't got any.
On hearing gales of laughter, Jimmy looks up, then, surprised, glances at a smiling David.
I got those, however.
But these are paying in forms, sir.
Oh, don't keep putting obstacles in the way, Wilson.
Delighted, Jimmy leaps up and salutes David. Taking his seat again, he turns to his writing partner.
Arthur's marvellous. My casting is marvellous.
Now, the cast and crew are enjoying drinks. Jimmy approaches Arthur and John LeMessurier.
Hasn't that woman laughed over your line?
It was the wife.
The wife?
John. Thank you, that was gorgeous. Arthur, you were brilliant.
No need to sound quite so surprised, Jimmy.
Well, no, I'm not, but didn't he remember nearly every line?
He was wonderful. Jimmy, that's not actually a compliment. I thought you used to be an actor.
Yes, I used to be an actor.
Well, only five more to go.
Yes, well, keep up the rewrites, get rid of the dross. There's not a lot, but there's enough.
Yes, not but...
Filming continues. A group scene.
So your claret from the left bank or the right bank?
Ten. Shut.
Jones is out of step.
Mike.
This kid to Menry.
Take that stupid scarf off, stupid boy.
In another scene, Jones is manically stabbing at a bag with a practice pike. Paul's in his office.
Come in.
Hello, Paul.
Looking at Tom.
I washed it.
Paul returns his full attention to his work. Tom stands awkwardly for a few moments, then eventually dismisses himself from the office. Now, back in his own office.
Come in.
Now look here, Tom.
I see. They don't like it.
No one's saying that.
Well, what precisely don't they like? All sorts. Everything.
Now look here. This is what we do.
Okay, chaps. Gather round. So, we're going to film a scene for the start of the episode of all of you looking back on your time in the Home Guard with pride.
Looking back?
Yes.
From when?
From... Now?
30 years later?
Yes.
There's a time when you have to stand firm. That is what this show is about. Remember? Standing firm against a seemingly stronger enemy.
Bravo! Well said, Arthur.
Bravo. Yes, well, we'll do it this once. But no more.
The new scene helps. But Paul would like you to change the titles.
No! Absolutely not! It stops here!
They've all joined Paul Fox in his office.
I've been uneasy with this project from the start.
Made that very clear.
The titles reinforce that unease. They mix fact with fiction.
The point of the series is to contrast the pathetic, brave, yet comic Home Guard against the Nazi horde.
Exactly. That's what we're getting at.
I understand the point of the series. I don't agree that it needs underlining with real footage. It's a comedy. The Nazis weren't funny.
Now, look here. Comedy is about more than laughing. Nearly all the cast served in the war. Jimmy and David served.
We did. India, both of us.
Most of us laughed more in the war than any time since. Are you saying we don't know what's serious? Comedy defines this generation. Wit, irony, humanity in the face of the impossible. Everyone who lived through it will understand it, and those who didn't. What I wonder is if the clowns are supposed to stay clowns in your new BBC One. Can we not be serious or push into new areas?
This channel showed Till Death Us Do Part. Hardly conservative, And I'm not sure that Dad's Army will push us into new areas.
Yes, what do we do about the titles?
It appears we've reached an impasse.
Of course, if you're not happy, Paul, they'll change it.
A smile spreads over Paul's face. Now, Tom, Michael, David and Jimmy are marching down a corridor.
You're supposed to be on our side, Tom. He was going to concede.
I know.
Then why back down?
Especially when we've won the argument.
So he doesn't hate this show. He's had his little victory. He'll feel better about it. Or do you want to go out after Match of the Day in the middle of the night?
I have to change my titles.
Nobody watches this show for the titles. Change it for something better.
He has a point.
In an editing studio, David and Jimmy are watching a new title sequence. They bob along to the music.
No, it's ruined. It's ruined. I could never watch a show with titles like that. It's absolutely...
You know, every beat of this has been a compromise for me. And it's still bloody good.
Now all we need to know is when it goes out.
If it goes out.
What? Are you serious?
I'm afraid so. Research department's very keen, apparently. Testing is the future of television. They're going to turn programming into a science.
Testing? What's testing?
Well, they invite an audience of typical viewers. Play them an episode and ask them what they think.
Doesn't sound too bad.
Relax, Jimmy. It'll be fine.
I thought it was just daft.
I didn't really follow it from the start. Was that supposed to be nuts?
And that little ball fella didn't even know his lines.
I didn't laugh out loud once.
I thought it was rubbish.
I quite liked it. I think it'll be a hit.
David and Jimmy look relieved. Later.
Oh, thank God for that dear little man. I could have kissed him.
He's our audience.
Here's to dear little men. Let's hope there's a few more like him.
With more than a hint of taking the Mickey out of the Home Guard. I enjoyed it.
Now, look here. We've got a provisional date for Dad's Army. Wednesday, 31st of July, 8:20.
Good slot.
How was testing?
Interesting.
That bad. Got the report?
Not yet.
If it's hostile, Fox will push us into a late-night slot, but it will go out. I think.
David's reading the audience report when...
Tom Sloan's secretary asked after the audience report on Dad's Army.
What about it?
They want me to pass it on after you've read it.
Why?
It's the only copy. It goes on to Tom Sloan and then on to Paul Fox.
She leaves.
A month till transmission.
David puffs on a cigarette and looks down at the audience report on his desk. He taps his fingers incessantly and pulls a face. Then he pulls the report from the folder and stuffs it into a brown envelope before burying it underneath others in a wire tray. Sitting down, David shifts restlessly in his chair. His gaze moves to the pictures of the main cast on the wall. Suddenly, he leaps up, grabs the envelope, and locks it away in the bottom drawer of his desk. One month later, and David's heading down some stairs, while Tom's walking along a corridor. Passing David as he heads upstairs, Tom then turns back.
Has that audience research still not come through?
Not that I've seen, Tom.
Pass it on when it does.
Will do. Although,
hardly seems worthwhile, what with the show coming out tomorrow.
No, I suppose not. Good luck, by the way.
Thanks. With luck, we'll find an audience. If not the research.
I look at Walker and
see a perfectly cast, brilliant actor.
It's not my dream, but sitting in a room, laughing and singing up absurd stuff with a chum.
It isn't the worst way to spend your days.
No, it's not. I think we're a pretty effective partnership.
Yes, the happy couple. And if by some marvel of fate we do get a second series, then let's make the characters more like the actors.
Daddy, bye.
David smiles at Gilda.
Coming up next on BBC One, Censure.
Here we go.
Brand new comedy, Dad's Army.
Ian, comedy's about to start. Ian, put that light out. That's one of the things I say in the show. You'll see it a bit later on. Put that light out.
Drinks, Joan. We'll need them to watch this.
John LeMessurier is at home on the phone.
I did rather enjoy doing it in the end.
I hope to God to get a bit more telly off the back of it. I'm fed up doing these parts.
You're clearly destined to play old codgers.
What's that?
Speak up.
Which?
Oh, they don't like it. Up them, the fat John.
The launch part. Type of thing that gets you noticed. People to see what I can do.
Sitting at home, James rolls his eyes and covers his face with his hand. Also at home is John Laurie. He walks over to the TV and switches it off.
It's doomed. Doomed, I tell you.
Dad's Army ran for 9 series. It was watched by over 80 million people at its peak and became one of the best-loved and most successful British sitcoms of all time. Paul Fox liked it too. Jimmy and David carried on writing together, creating hits including It Ain't Half Hot Mom and Heidi High, which did rather well too. You have been watching John Sessions, Julian Sands, Mark Heap, Kevin Bishop, Kieran Hodgson, Ralph Riak, Michael Cochran, Shane Ritchie, Paul Ritter, Richard Dormer. You took my life, but then I knew that very soon you'd leave me. But it's all right. Now I'm not frightened of this world, believe me. I wish today would be tomorrow. Night is dark, it just brings sorrow that waits. Thank you for the days. Those endless days of sacred days you gave me. I'm thinking of the days. A single day, believe me. Days I remember.